This is Karen Lyle of Salesport Talk. This month, we are remembering Martin Luther King's vision. And I have with me Dr. Claiborne Carson, the director of Stanford University's World House Project. Dr. Carson, what legacy did Martin Luther King leave us to carry forward?
Well, I think Martin Luther King left us with a question, where do we go from here? And that implies that people are prepared to provide answers to that question. And so I think we're trying to do that. We'll do our best to try to allow people to learn what is necessary to answer the questions. Because I think if we don't answer it, King warns us that our options are chaos or community. And I would definitely want to move toward community rather than chaos. And I think that we have now some tools that we've learned from previous liberation movements about how to build the more positive option.
Your group has done a lot of research about the civil rights movement. What have you learned?
Well, I think learning from the past. I'm a historian, and I think that we can learn lessons from the past. And so much of what we describe as human history is really told by those who were the dominant groups. And we're only in the last few hundred years developing tools such as the novel, such as the narrative of slaves. All of these are various ways in which people who are gaining the skill to tell their own story, or who have been given that skill by people who want to tell their story for them, that we begin to see that there's another history, and that history is fascinating and it's inspiring. And it's something that we are continuing in the 21st century with the tools that we have available to make sure that history is told by everyone who's involved in making history. So I think that these are essential to answering his question, where do we go from here? Because it also redefines who we are, that we are part of humanity, and that's who we have to move forward with.
Thank you so much for developing tools that we can use to work together in peace as humanity. Go to World House Project on the stanford.edu website, or just search on Stanford World House Project. This is Karen Lyle of Salesport Talk.
All right, it is Tuesday at 9:40. This is when we check in with our friend Karen Lyle from SalesportTalk.com, who will co-host this segment with me. Karen, how are you doing today?
Fantastic, Rick, and how about yourself?
Not too shabby. We're quite pleased to bring in our friend back to the show, Marie Rogers, who has been so active in the sailing world, and we've talked to her so many different times. And she has co-founded the Offshore Racing Outreach. It is a nonprofit. Marie, welcome back to the program. Tell us a little bit more about that, please.
Hi, guys. It's so nice to be back on the show. Well, as I stated last time I was on the show, that our racing world, our sailing world in general, hasn't had a lot of diversity. A lot of diverse participants, mainly because of the cost and the history of our country. It's been kind of challenging for some folks to be on the water. So I and some other individuals decided to start a foundation that would invite people onto big boats and actually do offshore sailing. A lot of people do have access with sailing schools and whatnot along the coast. But when it comes to big offshore races, I'm usually the only different kind of person that's on boats. And we just thought we would give a leg up to folks who don't get invited on to do a trans-pack or a pack cup race.
Well, Marie, how is that journey going? Because I know that you bought a boat up here in the Bay Area, and
it's been about 6 months, I think, since we've had you on the show to talk about the progress. Can you tell us a little bit about the team you're putting together and the boat?
Yeah, well, we were approached by a backer almost 2 years ago he wanted to fund this this program. And my husband, he's a naval architect, has refitted many ocean-going sailboats. And he wanted me, because I'm a sailing instructor, to find the people. And so together we found a boat up in the Richmond area. And it had been sitting for many, many years. It had been sitting since 2006. The previous owners had been in an accident, and they really couldn't take it out anymore. So we purchased this boat and started to refit in Berkeley. And then it was a huge project, just to say. And then we couldn't, when we were finished, we wanted to deliver the boat down to Los Angeles. We couldn't do so because we still hadn't received any, we're not able to get any insurance on the boat because it's such a big boat, it's 56 feet. And make a long story short, we couldn't get it leave the Bay Area. And so finally we partnered with our friends at J World Sailing, and we became part of their fleet, and they were fully insured. So that was the only way we were able to bring the boat down to L.A. But you know, it's been a wonderful collaboration. So we will have six crew that are students, and the two J-Roll guys and I will be the coaches, and we will get the team safely and hopefully fast to Honolulu.
What it would be like, so if someone's listening and they want to, you know, buy some boat, like you said, you saw this big boat sitting there. How much of that is a money pit, and how much of that is like super exciting? Like, is it kind of a double-edged sword?
It is. It's a huge money pit. That's the thing about boats. You might be able to pick up a boat for not very much money, just like a regular boat, like a family boat, anything from like 20 to 30 feet. But it's all the maintenance. It's, if it's something that's old, you know, it's a huge money pit, and then you have to have a slip for it. So it is a lot of money. So with this one, we had the generous backer, but this is not just your everyday boat. It's 56 feet. It's a boat with a lot of pedigree. It's done many, many Pacific races and Mexico races. It was actually the designer of the boat and the builder of the boat that we know. We collaborate with them all the time. And Alan Andrews, this is an Andrews 56. So this is the first of the several what we call Andrew 56s. So, and we know people that have raced on it. It has a wonderful reputation. So it wasn't like it was a random boat. It was like definitely like a Ferrari sitting in someone's garage for a very, very long time without being driven. And yeah, very expensive, but very, very nice boat to sail.
Well, it's wonderful that it has that provenance, because basically racing boats that have won races and have a reputation in the racing community, they get fans, don't they?
They do get found, and that's an excellent point, Karen, because this boat was not on the market, right? This was during the tail end of the pandemic when there weren't a lot of boats available because, as you know, and some of your listeners may not know, that during the pandemic, a lot of people had a lot of time in their hands, and that people who had the money for this kind of thing bought boats. And so there weren't really any great boats around that would fit this program. That was really through our friends and associates and, people putting little hints in our ears that we found this boat.
Could you tell us a little bit more? By the way, we're with Marie Rogers, Rick Tittle, and Karen Lyle for SailSportTalk.com. Can you tell us a little bit more about the Transpac San Pedro to Honolulu?
Yeah, it's a biennial race. So every odd year, the race is out of Los Angeles. On even years, it's the Pacific Cup. It's out of San Francisco to the North Island. So I'm a Southern California girl. So every odd year, we leave San Pedro late June, early July, depending on the, there's three different starts depending on what class of boats you have. And then we have basically 2,225 miles of Pacific before we get to Honolulu. And each boat has a tracker. Anybody can follow it. If you go to the Trans-Pacific Yacht Club website, you'll see the tracker information. The name of our boat is Good Trouble, dedicated to John Lewis. The great, statesman and congressman and champion of civil rights. So you can track us. You can track any of your friends that you know are in this race. Our start is June 29th. The first start, I believe, is June 27th. And then the last start for the super powered up boats is, I believe, July 1st. But that's all on that website.
Well, speaking of civil rights, we just had our Juneteenth holiday yesterday. Tell us what you were doing or anything you have to say about that holiday for us.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, Juneteenth was great. I spent all my time, Juneteenth, actually working on our boat, getting it ready. I'm in charge of all the safety gear and dealing with the Transpac officials to make sure we have everything. It's basically a binder worth of information and equipment I'm checking off and making sure I've completed, and then dealing with crew and workmen that are helping us on the boat. But, yeah, Juneteenth is very close to me. I mean, I'm a descendant of Juneteenth people. My only four generations ago were my family enslaved people in Texas. And so they're on the tail end of hearing the news that they were actually free. I imagine you've already talked the history over with your listeners. But, you know, the Emancipation Proclamation was handed out. And 2 years later, the people in Texas still hadn't heard because it was basically the freed slave union soldiers that were black had to cross the country on horseback, and Texas was the westernmost territory, so it took them that long to let the people know that they were free since they were still under Confederate control. Here in the yachting world, I held our very first Juneteenth at a yacht club 2 years ago, right before the holiday, before we became a holiday. It was pretty exciting. I think it was the only yacht club that's ever had a Juneteenth celebration. That was at California Yacht Club.
And you had the honor also being the second, the first African-American Commodore of the Los Angeles Yacht Club, and actually second African-American Commodore. And so you really pushed forward a agenda of inclusiveness and friendliness there, and that's actually how we met when I was a member of the Los Angeles Yacht Club down there. So congratulations on that, Marie. Rick, go ahead. You can ask your question now.
Oh, just time for one more question. When you talk about having crew who have not been traditionally represented in offshore racing, how do you go about fixing that?
Oh, geez. Yeah, that's what I've been doing officially. I have a committee with Southern California Yachting. I'm also on the board of directors of U.S. Sailing, and that's like basically all I've been doing is just bringing about awareness. And we're at this point now where boat owners, you know, they'll say, yeah, I'm welcome. Like, I don't mind having a diverse membership in my yacht club or if people want to get on my boat, but no one's actually doing the outreach. There's just a few of us. And bringing about the realization to people that, you know, these spaces are really boring without any diversity. And what I've also been doing is going into the community and saying and telling people, hey, you know, this is a safe space. You really should come out, learn to sail and race on this boat. But, you know, it's funny because they want to be on a diverse boat, but they don't want to be on an all-white boat. So that's the challenge that I'm finding. They just don't want to have to be in that kind of awkward, like, oh, just, there's just one or two of us. Why can't we be on a diver's boat? So my boat's very popular right now.
So to find out more about the offshore racing outreach online, where do we go?
We have a website. It's basically sailoro.org. That's just all one word, sail, sailoro.org. You'll see our mission statement, all the cool stuff we're doing, our profiles. Everything's being still added to that website. So I welcome everybody to join us, and we do take donations.
Well, everybody,
great. And
check
also,
it out. Mm-hmm.
Also, SailSportTalk.com, if you look up Marie Rogers on there, there's a page that has a little bio and has a link to that website.
Very good. SailSportTalk.com, Karen Lyle, and, of course, Offshore Racing Outreach's Marie Rogers. Thanks for coming back on the show. We appreciate it.
Oh, I appreciate it, Rick. And also, Karen, thanks so much.
Thanks, Marie.
All right, Karen, thanks for coming on, and we'll check you out next week, y'all.
Okay, sounds great.
All right, I'm Rick Tittle. We'll come on back on Sports Byline.